live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli. Pete Prisco is on an airplane and should be here about 6:45 tonight from CBSSports.com. So Jeff Lagerman has jumped in early tonight from Jaguars All Access Television. Hey, man.
What's happening?
What's up?
It's all good.
He's tired.
Yeah, you looked like you said you were bleary-eyed just a minute ago.
Watching a lot of tape. So this week what I've asked him to do, because I don't want to watch the Titans because I think they're... They're bad. And I don't have last week I was looking forward to watching the Ravens.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching the Texans because seeing what they're doing with J.J. Watt. Can't really find a guy I'm really excited about watching. I mean, Jarrell Casey's a good player for the
Titans. The guy.
But, I mean, overall, it's just – people listening are probably saying, what's the difference between them and the Jaguars? One, I like the Jaguars. Two – I get this, at least I think, and you look back, and I think if you ask the average football player, at least the Jaguars have like a plan of like what they're trying to do. The Texans have this mishmash. They have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. They have, you know, this new coach, you know, a bunch of young, old, I mean, just a bunch of questions all over that team.
Yeah, I don't think.
So I'm asking Jeff to watch all the film for me this week.
That's nice. Take some notes.
Yeah, when you look at the Titans, I think Tony's right. You look at them and you go, okay, where's that core of young players that, you know, and 2 years, 3 years down the road that you're going to be excited about watching to develop. I don't know if they've necessarily got it.
Who are they?
Well,
you got the tackle and the guard.
The best player on the team is Jarrell Casey.
Right.
And he was absolutely unstoppable.
Now, did they sign him to a new deal yet?
I don't know that, but the only thing that stopped him was punching Geno Smith face mask this past week or yesterday.
Yeah.
And he didn't get ejected. He kept on playing.
Got a fine.
Got a big fine coming.
Probably. Ken Wisenhunt kind of pulled him out of the game, and he didn't get as many reps after that. But, I mean, prior to that, he was unbelievable.
He's a great player.
Playing like a guy possessed.
From a great school.
Plenty to get to tonight. We'll get to those Titans coming up. Short week, Jaguars and Titans on Thursday here at Everbank Field. The Jags are now 2-12. Biggest news today, though, Blake Bortles questionable for this game, the team says, with a midfoot sprain. But he says today that he's going to be good to go and is planning on playing on Thursday night.
Well, I hope so. I mean, whether you're doing well or doing bad, you want to kind of ride it out. You know, and I respect him for that. You know, I mean, we didn't even know that he was hurt during the game. You know, so I give him credit for kind of toughing it out. But he needs to play every snap that he can get. And Gus Bradley didn't say it in his press conference, and he's not going to say it. But if you kind of read between the lines, the quarterback he's got a long way to go. You know, he's got a long way to go. You know, and I know that, you know, you get fans that are up in arms about 8 sacks allowed and want to blame offensive linemen and everything like that.
Oh, I got a Twitter account full of saying I'm an idiot and the offensive line stinks and they should be all fired.
Well, trust me. I mean, I'll be the first one to blame the offensive line if they're all to blame, but they're not all to blame. You know, it goes around. You know, the running backs had a couple opportunities. One of them that was in particular that just, I mean.
Whiff.
Storm Johnson didn't even give himself a chance. Jordan Todman could have picked up a looping guy around on a game.
Where they're sliding away from the game, by the way.
Yeah, I mean that really was right there for him to pick up. The offensive line probably had 3 mistakes to where, look, they got to be better, and they got to be better overall. I mean, a game out of them to where they just all of a sudden it looks like, you know, the Great Wall of China.
So Jeff, I'll say this because everyone's the sacks, 8 sacks, they're terrible, they're the worst offensive line ever. I would say like 2. Maybe 3 of those sacks for them.
I put 3 of them on them.
It's
you know, that third one could have been avoided if the quarterback, all of a sudden makes a decisive decision. And that's the issue right now. And when you watch Jaguars All Access tonight, there was one play in particular that I picked out. And it looked like the Ravens were playing a cover 2 coverage. And when Blake Bortles dropped back, if you just watched and focused in on his head, he went from center of the field to left to right and then back to center, and then his eyes dropped because the rush was coming. And he didn't know exactly where he wanted to go with the ball. Well, it looked like cover 2, but it ended up being single high man with a man underneath free as well. And he couldn't make his mind up fast enough. And if he had been decisive, like veteran quarterbacks are, you know, and I'm not going to throw around the big names, but a veteran quarterback knows the coverage, sees it. When the ball is in his hands, he immediately knows, okay, I'm going to go either here or there. So he kind of shortens the field. So the read becomes very limited. He's not doing that. His eyes are going willy-nilly around, and that just takes time.
Well, my point of saying, because you're right, on the sack issue, my issue with the offensive line was not the sack number. My issue with the offensive line is they need to be better and more consistent and allow the quarterback to have the confidence to sit in there and look down the field and allow routes to develop and allow the coordinator to call plays that stretch the field and to be firmer when even it's not a sack of not getting pushed into the quarterback's lap. Because what has happened, which is frustrating to me and I think to everyone, is even when the offensive line is acting as the Great Wall of China, as Log said, and there's no pressure, you can see a quarterback who has a clock going off in his head and saying, I've been hit after about 2.5 seconds too many times. It's 2.5, 3 seconds. I got to be getting hit, so it's time for me to leave. And there's no reason to leave. It's just relax, look down the field.
Well, and he's,
you have to earn that, though, as an offensive line. You earn that trust because more times than not, he has nothing to worry about. And right now, that's what they need to get to.
And a couple times he's trying to extend the play, get out of the pocket.
Just sit there.
On three-step, okay? And on three-step, you never do that. You
throw it
a because
throw
your
ball.
Your offensive linemen are cutting and protecting for a short period of time. So if you try to extend a play, the chances of that being successful are very small. You know, and he's got to learn that. He's got to learn that. His accuracy has to get better. I mean, these are all the things and the reason that pointed to, so when they drafted him, they were like, look, it's going to take some time. We want him to
see. Why they wanted to redshirt him.
Exactly.
You know, they wanted to redshirt him because of, if, in my opinion, of all the conversations, and I'm aggregating them all from the time he was drafted till now, is not because he couldn't handle it, not because he's not mentally tough enough, not because he's not physically tough enough. He has mechanical issues that they knew when they were drafted him would be issues that they need to work through. And I've said it all the time. People who kill Blake Bortles and they ask me questions, is he going to be good? Blake Bortles does everything really well that you can't coach. He's tough mentally, physically. He will throw it into tight windows. He'll take chances. He's not afraid. He's, you know, all the things.
Accurate on the run.
He's a leader. He's athletic. All the things you want out of that position. The intangibles, he's got them. All the things you can't coach, he's got. The things you can coach, he needs a lot of work at. His footwork is atrocious. His mechanics in his lower body aren't very good. You know, all those lead to accuracy issues, all those things. And that's why they wanted to wait. They said, this kid's going to be good. He has everything we want in a quarterback, but there's some mechanical issues that he has to work on. And out of, you know, but they got to a point that I think they said that he gives us the best chance of winning, so we played him.
But let me bring this up. I don't think that they made a mistake by playing.
Oh, I don't either.
Because I was on board with it. Yeah. I mean, you know, let him get the reps. Because, you know, the argument goes about, and you can have this argument every day of the week, okay? If you play a guy too early, can it ruin him? You know what I mean? Because that's been talked about for many years,
sure,
for many quarterbacks.
Jeff and I agree on this.
Tony and I, we don't agree on everything, but this we are. I believe that either a quarterback has the ability to fight through that and to come out on the other side successful, or he doesn't. It doesn't matter whether you play him early or not. I think that
it's either in him or it's not.
Either they've got it or they don't, the ability to withstand success or failure. And I think that Blake Bortles has the ability to be able to withstand failure, to come out on the other side and have success. But it's going to take some work. And he realizes that. Talk to him right in here with Mike Dempsey on Jaguars Today. Talk to him in the locker room. He knows that he's got things that he's got to work on. It's been a very humbling experience for him. And that's good because it makes him realize that he's got a lot of work to do. And today I did go, and just kind of a little comparison.
Okay.
I went and watched Johnny Manziel's first start ever today on film.
He's awful.
He was not good.
It was quite an issue for
he was not good.
Little Johnny football.
He had some plays that he looked good, but overall, I don't see it. I mean,
one game though, right? I mean, that's going to be Pete's argument.
It's one game only, but you know, JP, when we talked about it in here, I know Merrill Hodge said that, look, he's a six-round talent, Hodge. And he faulted, Merrill Hodge, he said he was a six-round talent, and he faulted the Browns for drafting him that high and playing him so early. And I think that's a little over the top. Mm-hmm. I said that Johnny's probably a third-round pick, which was kind of my guess. But I said then that he doesn't do anything on script successfully for the most part. And he had one hell of a wide receiver in Mike Evans when he was at Texas A&M.
Which he's been proving out this year.
Which he could just throw it up to him.
No doubt.
So he's got a lot of work to do. Will he ever be successful? I don't know the answer to that. But I have a lot more confidence that Blake Bortles is going to be successful than a Johnny Manziel, I can tell you that.
Well, there you have it. We'll come back in a moment and talk Jaguars defense. They played well again yesterday. What more can you ask? I tell you what, we've asked that question a lot this year. We'll try to find an answer again this week. Celebrate the last home game of the season with the biggest, boldest tailgate event of the year, Titans-Jaguars this Thursday. It features a live pregame performance from J.J. Gray and Mofro, a craft beer fest and local cuisine from the best food trucks in Jacksonville, all behind the NFL Network pregame set. For game tickets, visit jaguars.com or call 633-2000. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I saw Cecil Shorts. We challenged our guys on offense, really the whole team, to answer the call. When your number's called, you need an answer. And if you don't answer it, you better quickly recover and stand up the next time you get a chance. Okay. Well, I saw Cecil Shorts do that. I saw Mercedes Lewis drop a pass that was a perfectly thrown ball, and he dropped it. But I saw him quickly recover. So I see him adhere to the principles we're talking about, and you're searching for answers in it, but it comes back to where you say, you're 6 inches away.
Head coach Gus Bradley, earlier today, the day after a 20-12 loss to the Baltimore Ravens in Week 15, Jaguars Monday continues. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls coming up. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Buscelli. Pete Prisco is en route. And Jeff Lagerman is here. He's getting ready for Jaguars All Access tonight.
It's interesting, listening to Gus there, and he talks about, fans, and we always kind of point out some of the mistakes that some guys may make. Mercedes with the drop that led to the punt, that got blocked and then gave the Ravens a 7-0 lead.
10-point swing.
And that's what happens when you don't win, is the mistakes get magnified. Because you know what? If the Ravens lost that game, you could be looking at Torrey Smith's drop. You could be looking at the tight end. Let me see that sheet here. The tight end that had the drop, and Crockett Gilmore had a drop.
You could look at the two special team plays they messed up on the fake punt and onside.
Absolutely. That's part of the deal. I think that, fans and people in general, and I get it, it's human nature, that because of the loss is happening, that they just, it's almost like a lynch mob.
Okay? Well, I think the problem is
that's not good enough. That's not good enough. They got to get rid of him. Right. Well, wait a minute.
Well, I think the problem is
pitchforks outside, right?
Well, the problem is right now this team, the margin for error is so small. And so every time you have an error like that, it's exponentially more evident. Because points are at a premium.
And they're not good enough elsewhere.
That's what I'm saying. So you see a drop like Mercedes, you're like, that could have led to a touchdown if the drive continues. Or you see Blake overthrow Marquise in the end zone when he's wide open. There's our chance to win the game. And so those little things are so magnified because your margin for error is very small. Where if you're the Ravens or the Broncos or any of the good teams, name the good teams, they can absorb a mistake like that. Continue on and win ball games.
Jaguars defense in this game yesterday. We were talking about this here last night in the post game. That might have been their best game of the year, just overall, right? I mean, they allowed 13 points to the fifth best points per game team in the league, and held down the run game and all that. Overall, not a bad day. And in spots when it was a one score game, they kept it a one score game.
Well, I mean, I thought they were tremendous, but I wouldn't say it was their best performance. When you score on defense, it's hard to beat that.
That's fair.
Like they did against the Giants. But, to be able to go up against the Ravens, where their strength is running the football and their strength is the offensive line, particularly those guys in the interior. I mean, the job that Roy Miller, Sendarek Marks, Avery Jones, Ziggy Hood – they did a tremendous job. I mean, they weren't just okay. I mean, they were exceptional. Marshall Yanda, maybe the best guard in football. They did a great job against them. The linebackers did a great job against them. JT Thomas did a great job. Telvin Smith.
Front seven played great.
I mean, those guys in the core, I thought, probably had their best game against a really good team. I mean, a really good team.
Well, 'cause Jeff,
and a team that was extremely motivated, that had been on a roll offensively.
At
they
home.
Rose.
Yeah. And, Jeff, we talked about it, that there was a fear or concerns like this could get out of control.
Well, you're 2-11 going to the Ravens on the road.
With that, and with that offensive line and a team that can run the ball. And the worst thing that can happen to a football team when you're struggling, especially a defense, if the other team gets going in the run game, because I've been on the offense where even against good teams and you know they're demoralized and you get 5 yards here, and the next thing you know, they're done. Not that they'll still fight the best they can, but mentally they are finished, and it just steamrolls. And my concern was like, oh, gosh, if the offense struggles and they get the run game going early a little bit, it's going to be tough for this defense to respond and hang in there. And they were awesome.
You know what the greatest thing about this?
Really, really good.
The best thing about this entire game, okay, you go to Baltimore against a team that's playing for their playoff lives, okay? You get down 7-0 on a special team score for the Ravens. Now, most teams that are 2-11, they're done.
See ya.
They're done.
What time's the plane leave?
Done. But and I think, you know, look, I'm not trying to pump up Gus Bradley here, but you know, that's a characteristic of a team playing hard like that with the record that they're at, with something bad happening early in a game. Just like going back to the Giants game. Bad first half to be able to bounce back. I mean, to me, that's a reflection that your coach is where he needs to be. You got a good coach. Okay, now you just need the time to develop the offense. You know, I know a lot of people are critical of Jed Fish. But if I'm Jed Fish, I'm sitting there going, what can I hang my hat on? Is there one thing that I can lean on to know that in rough times we do well? There's not.
I'll tell you one thing.
That's a tough position to be in.
One thing he needs to stop doing, and I'm saying this because I told Jed already this, stop calling bubble screens. We're the worst bubble screen team in America.
Well, and they would be better at it if Blake Bortles delivered an accurate throw.
Yeah, because they're all over the place.
I'm joking. I mean, I was giving Jed a hard time, and he's one of my good friends. I was like, Jed, we're off. Can we call something else? Because the bubble screen right now, makes it hard, because some of the coverages are getting, that should be a good play. But you got to deliver the ball in a way that the running has momentum going forward, and it takes acrobatic catches by our receivers.
I think there was on
the bubble screen. One good one with Cecil.
Yeah, one good one with Cecil where he kind of got his shoulders up the field, but I think there was about three or four that were just like, jeez, come on.
But listen, I'm with Jeff, and I'll admit it right now, I'm biased because I like Jed. I've known Jed for a long time. When I was in Houston the 1 year, he was a quality control guy. So I've seen him throughout moving up the ranks. I think he's a really smart offensive coordinator. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I think he is playing and calling a game in a situation where there's a lot of young players of trying to figure out exactly what they can do, limit the playbook, limit what they ask him to do, shorten the script, but still be effective enough to go out there and execute plays with a rookie quarterback, rookie receivers, rookie offensive linemen, and have success. And I think it's very difficult because if you watch, and I know everyone's frustrated, if you watch the tape, Jed makes bonehead calls. I mean, he makes mistakes. But if you watch the tape, there are plays to be had out there, and there are guys open, and sometimes the quarterback misses him because he's a rookie. Sometimes the quarterback misses him because he's getting hit in the face.
Sometimes the receiver misses him and just drops
the ball. And so there are plays out there.
Put all that together, it's not a good mix.
It's not a good mix. And so you can scream and yell and everything else about the coordinator, and he's an idiot and he doesn't know what he's doing. I just think, and maybe he is, but I think it's too early to judge that based on what we're doing this year as a football team with the youth at every critical position.
You know, the one stat that really stands out is that the Jaguars, you know, Tony talked about all the rookies starting. You got 5.0 starts per game for the Jaguars, and the rest of the league is averaging like 1.6 starts, you know, per game by a rookie. You know, and the issue is that your five starts are essentially all on offense. I mean, Telvin Smith is the lone guy on the defense.
And that's only been the last couple games.
Right. But then, you know, that's not factoring in second-year guys like a Denard Robinson, a Luke Jokel, a Sam Young, who made his eighth career start at Baltimore. I mean, this is a very young football team. And when you commit to youth, you commit to some pain. And right now, there's
Ouch!
A lot of pain.
It hurts. It hurts. Who you got on All Access tonight, Jeff?
Well, the Jaguars got a busy day, short week, so they're kind of combining some days today for their work day. So no players were available.
They're out of practice right now, aren't
they? Yeah, they're out there doing their thing. Yeah, so we got Paul Posluszny. We're going to catch up with the Paws, see how the Greek pec is doing.
I don't know how he tore it. There's so much muscle there. How did he tear it?
I don't know. But I guarantee if as big a pec as he has had – that didn't feel good.
No.
So we're going to have pause on tonight, and then we're going to look at some of the sacks allowed. So tune in to Jaguars All Access for the film room. And then also doing three of the sacks allowed tonight, and we'll break it down as to why they happened. And then coming up on Film Room Friday, that's going to be on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yes, because the game's Thursday night. We're going to get it out there on the website early on Thursday this week. We're going to look at three more. So we're going to break down six of the eight sacks allowed week.
There's two others left somewhere.
We forgot about this.
I can't get them all in.
I mean, come on, Jeff.
We're limited on time. Eight sacks is a lot for us to get to, JP.
That's true, I guess. All right, that's tonight at 7. Paul Posluszny, and he's lost a little weight since then. Hadn't been in the weight room like he used to be.
Oh, so but he will be.
He will be back in
there. Oh, trust me, he's been in the weight room. He just hadn't been able to work that pick.
Yeah, he's been. I've been losing weight too, JP.
I noticed that, actually. Yes, tonight at 7 on Channel 4, Sam Kavoris, Jeff Lagerman, and Paul Posluszny. Hey, Jags 365 season ticket members, you should have your personalized 2015 season ticket renewal brochure. There are 50 amazing prizes to be rewarded to lucky Jags 365 season ticket members who renew early. Check your inbox and renew today. Call 633-2000 and select option 1. We'll take some of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I don't know if I look and say, boy, the offensive line is getting worse. I think our perception is the offensive line is getting better. Now, at times, you know, like you said, Luke Winkle got walked back into the quarterback. Yes, that did happen. That did happen. So he's got to be more stout, and he'll get stronger and better at that. But for the most part, I think overall when we look at it, we've seen improvement by those guys.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. Now, he did single out Bowenko there, but he talked about a few other guys, too. That's a part of a longer bite.
He's going to be a good player.
Jaguars Monday continues. That's Tony Boselli, J.P. Shadrick. By ourselves for a little bit longer. Pete Prisco on his way.
Can we extend it for another hour and 30 minutes?
We might be able to do that. How about some calls, Tony? 355-NFL1, 355-6351, your favorite part.
Let's go. Light it up.
Every
Let's go.
Evening. We'll start off with Carol on the north side.
The women always.
Hold on, Carol.
Hold on, Carol. Hold on. Oh, never mind. Go ahead, Carol. I'm not going to say
anything. Can I say what I need to say?
Go for
say it.
Number one, Jim Fish, he's no good.
Well, okay.
We need to get our coaching staff. Blake Barnes is a beautiful quarterback.
Beautiful.
He's better than a lot of quarterbacks. That's
gorgeous. He is gorgeous,
isn't
he?
Listen, let me say what I got to say.
Tony,
stop.
Hold on, Carol, hold on. Let me ask you a question, then you can continue. I just have one question. So you think Jed Fish is awful?
Yes, he is.
Based on what? Can you just give me like one example of what makes
because
him really bad? Because
you can predict what Jacksonville is going to do.
Really?
He got a nice, good, quality quarterback, but he called dumb plays.
Like, give me one example of a dumb play. Give me one example of a dumb play he called, because I'm curious.
What you said again?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I just want one example of a dumb play that he called.
He called a lot of dumb plays.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, come on, Tony.
There's so many of them. Could you just give me one?
It's hard to pick one.
Well, for one thing, he can predict what he's going to do.
Yeah, see?
In my opinion.
Okay.
Hey, you know, everybody has a right to their own opinion.
Yeah, your opinion. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking, like, if you can give me an example of one dumb play he called.
Well, Tony, why don't you give us an example?
Well, I don't think he makes –
Well,
I like
for one thing, he let Blake Bortles, for one thing. Okay, you want to give me something specific?
Yeah, specific.
Okay, it was one case when he okay, we was backed up way back in our own territory.
Okay.
And, you know, Blake Bortles is a rookie.
Yep.
You asked me something. You won't give me a chance to say nothing.
No, I'm agreeing.
Of course, yes.
He let Blake Bortles throw, which, in other words, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. He's trying to learn the system.
He's beautiful, though.
And in that position, why would you let him throw the ball and it was a pick six that quick?
That's a good one, Carol. I agree. That's a good one, Carol. That's a good one.
Hey,
you know,
should
not. Could you please let me say that?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was it. Keep on going.
Okay, I call for two reasons. I call for our draft. We need to, for one thing, just let me talk. It won't take but a second.
No one else is talking but you, Carol.
We do have to get a
The draft, for one thing, because you all gonna always interrupt, but Mercedes Lewis is not getting the job done. Why don't we go out and draft Nick O'Leary out of Florida State?
I agree.
Hey. And he's He is very good. He's very, very good. And get back Justin Blackman. Give him another chance with Blake Bortles.
Yes, I agree.
And get Nick O'Leary.
Yep.
And if we could just do those two things,
Super
how much you want to bet? So we'll be in the playoffs next year.
There it is. Hey, I like
Nick O'Leary.
I like that.
I would use the first round.
You know, he's the grandson of Jack Nicklaus. You know that.
Yeah, he's beautiful too.
Is he really?
Blake Bortles is.
Obviously so. Apparently, Jed Fish didn't know what he's doing.
He's an idiot. He made the quarterback throw.
That's unbelievable.
Could you ask the quarterback to throw?
I mean, let's go. Seriously. Let's talk quarterback still with Wyatt in Mandarin. What's up, Wyatt? You got to follow that.
Hey guys, I'm a big Jags fan, and I think Bortles had one of the best games that he's had as a pro yesterday against Baltimore.
Yesterday?
Really? Now, can you give me some facts that would you base that opinion on?
There's a lot of drop passes, but I think he made some throws that were pretty outstanding. Like when he threw that ball perfectly late in the first half, right down between three defenders, between Allen Hurns.
Okay.
Yeah. Good play.
Allen Hurns.
Great throw.
That was a great throw.
Great catch. He got killed, but it was a great catch, too. Yeah.
Yeah. He made some throws I haven't seen a Jaguar quarterback made since David Garrard was here.
History.
I mean, the deep ball to Cecil was a good throw. Right? Put it right in the bucket.
You have the one to Marquise. He overthrew that one. The Cecil one. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought the one to Marquise where he. It looked like Marquise Lee stopped running for a little bit.
Yeah, that was Marquise's fault.
I'm
joking. Marquise ran a perfect route. He got overthrown. He beat the guy from two steps. Come on. I disagree with you 100%. I do not think that was Blake's best game. I think at times Blake does some really nice things and really good things, and I'm a big Blake Bortles fan. I think he is the franchise quarterback. I think he's going to only get better because he knows he has to get better. He is humble. And he is realistic of where he is at right now as a player. But that was not his best game. I disagree 100%.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Just don't interrupt Carol anymore, Tony. Okay?
I never did.
Just keep it down over here.
I agree with her.
Goodness sakes.
Beautiful.
Jimmy and Bonaventura.
I would not let him throw anymore.
Jimmy and Bonaventura.
If Jed calls one more pass play, I'd say we get rid of him.
Jimmy and Bonaventura wants to talk about fans. What's up, Jimmy? How are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Oh. I just, you know, a couple things. The fans are just up in arms about how terrible the franchise is. Well, guess what? That's what happens when you overhaul 80% of your roster in two off seasons and bring in some free agents. I'm just not understanding this whole, oh, we're terrible, fire Jed Fish, this whole – it doesn't make any sense to me because the only part of the team that has any continuity has been the defense. They've been together the longest. And look, oh, my gosh, what's happening? They're getting better every week. Last five games, Hacker brought up the point. He's like, well, Jimmy, you did up 500-yard rushers. Yeah, well, guess what? In the second half, all they did was run the ball because they were up big. And to Carol's point.
Hold on. Hacker was saying the defense hasn't been playing well?
So if Hacker brought it up, it's got to be true.
That means, in my opinion, just the opposite. So they've been playing great.
And to Carol's point, I'm going to give you one bad example of a Jed Fish call. Linder goes down. It's second.
It's second and eight.
Okay.
Okay? They run a draw play to Linder's side. That was the dumbest play call I've ever seen in my life. With second and eight, and it gets blown up after your best offensive lineman's off.
I think it was third and eight. I think it was third and down, eight. Yeah. And I would have to agree with you. If Carroll would have used that as an example, I disagreed with that play call as well.
I just hung up on him by accident.
That was a good
sorry.
Call.
I know.
He was good.
Call back.
Jimmy,
I'm sorry.
Why did you hang up on Jimmy?
I hit the wrong button.
He basically,
I'm sorry.
He gave
it was a good point.
He gave a good point about Carroll. He helped Carroll. He said Hacker does not know what he's talking about. How could you not say this defense is playing well? I don't understand that.
I don't get that. But
what's the other one he said?
On the third and eight call. The draw.
I didn't like the call. But
What would you have called there?
I'd throw it.
A screen or something else to...
I'd have thrown the ball. I don't know.
Throw it somewhere.
I mean, I'll be on fairness to him. Everyone loved the read option play when against the Giants when Blake ran for a first down and led to the touchdown.
Well, yeah.
No one was questioning that.
No.
Because it worked. Guess That's why true. That was a bad call? Because it didn't work.
Most
and,
calls are bad when they don't work.
I mean, I didn't love the call there, but watching it, and I meant to bring my iPad in here so I could reference these plays. There was a missed assignment. And so it's really a bad call when the guys up front don't block it the right way. I can't remember who it was on, so I don't want to be critical out of ignorance, but I'm 99.9% sure there was a missed assignment on that play, which led to the no gain. So it might have actually been the greatest call ever if everyone did what they were supposed to do on the play. And that's the one thing. So, Jimmy makes a fair point.
Yeah.
I didn't love the call either. But in fairness to Jed, it's hard to evaluate when guys don't do what they're asked to do.
There you go.
So it's a group thing. You're 2-11 because you're young and you make mistakes and you're not consistent. And listen, I do think it affects Jed as a play caller. And I think as a coach, when you have young players, because you're trying to limit, so you're trying to figure out the best way to put them in a position, and maybe you are more conservative. Maybe you are a little bit more guarded in what you're doing because you're trying to protect them. And then maybe that's frustration. I mean, it's a tough situation. When you're losing, everything's magnified as terrible. It's no good when you're losing. And that's what we got right now.
355-NFL-1. 355-6351. More of your calls coming up. Pete Prisco is en route. Should be here any moment.
Dang it.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I think that means a lot. I think, Brett Favre's record of consistent games started, I think is one of the most important records there is. I think, your teammates knowing you're going to be there week in and week out is something that means a lot.
Blake Bortles earlier today, he plans on playing this Thursday, even though he's got a midfoot sprain.
Tough right kid. Yeah. He is a tough individual. He took a hit, which I think should have been a penalty because I don't think you're allowed to pick up quarterbacks and body slam them anymore.
Really?
Which I'd be fine with if you were allowed. I like the old rules better when you kill each other. But you can't do that anymore. But Timmy Jernigan did that to Blake Bortles. I thought it should have been flagged based on the rules. But for whatever reason, the officials have not figured out that Blake Bortles is a quarterback because they let him take late hits and cheap shots.
Come celebrate the last home game of the season, the biggest, boldest tailgate event of the year before Thursday's game against the Titans. A live performance from J.J. Gray and Mofro, Craft Beer Fest, and food trucks, the best food trucks in Jacksonville. All during the NFL Network pregame show. Get your tickets at Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. Yes, sir.
So they won't call that, but they will call a defenseless receiver against Owen Daniels when the bottom of J.T. Thomas's face mask grazes his head as the second player there.
And you know what?
It's somehow that's a penalty. The officiating when it comes to two things, this helmet-to-helmet defenseless receiver nonsense, in my opinion, needs to be reviewed.
Yeah, should it be reviewable?
Yes, it should be reviewable because they got it wrong. I'm at the point, don't play football if you're afraid of getting hurt and getting a concussion. Sign a waiver. They make every player sign a waiver. I'd have signed it that if I die playing this game, I won't sue you. Whatever. I mean, because you can't legislate it because that right there is a stupid penalty. It's not a penalty. JT Thomas did nothing malicious. I'm fine with calling a penalty if a guy leads with his head, launches himself, and spears a guy. That's a penalty. What JT Thomas did is not a penalty. It's ridiculous. That and these mystery illegal contact down the field, they called one against
Cole?
Demetrius McCray.
McCray, that's right.
For a big on a third and 15 for a first down, and I watched the tape last night. I don't see it. I see him throw the flag. I don't see Demetrius McCray do anything. And then sometimes they're mugging each other down the field, and there's no flag. Go figure. It's ridiculous. Go ahead. Sorry.
Let's go to the phone lines.
I feel better, Joe.
Good job. I'm glad you.
It's like a good invented. I got the poison out of me.
355. We'll put some more back in you here in a second. 355 NFL 1. 355-6351. If your name
phone lines are lighted up.
If your name is Alligator, you're probably going to get on the air. Alligator's in Oak Leaf. Wants to talk about coaching. What's up, Gator?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, man.
Is your real name Alligator? Like your first name?
It's not. My name's Alex. I guess they misunderstood me when I was talking to them. So, you know, well, I'm a Gator fan, I'll go with it.
Alex,
so that's fine with me.
Yeah, the guy who answers the phones is an idiot, and we apologize for that.
Well, Alex, what's
up,
man?
No problem. I just heard you guys talking about a few of the calls with the Jags this last week, and though I'm going to talk about the coaching staff, I wanted to touch up on that. You know, I did see a few calls that I thought were BS. I mean, there was one, I believe, against Dwayne Grutz. That was a big call. Or, I'm sorry, it was Aaron Colvin. They called him for pass interference going down the sideline.
Yeah, they tripped up the legs, right?
His feet got tangled up.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a penalty either.
Play. I believe they called him on pass interference right there, and they gave him the first down on a long third down.
That's right.
Led to a touchdown.
I think the Jags are getting a lot of missed calls this year, and it's really hurting us. But at the same time, I hear a lot of callers calling in about the coaching staff, how we need to go ahead and revamp and get rid of Jed Fish. I think he's doing a great job. He's making good calls. He's had to change the offense around. The Bortles have come in, taken over for Hedy. And, I don't see any bad calls he's made so far. He's dealing with a roster that's severely hurt. Allen Robinson being out, Denard Robinson being out. We don't have the offensive line playing like we need to. And I think so far he's doing a great job. This team looks like it's on the rise and going to do great things next year.
Appreciate the call. There's one for Fish.
All right, Gator.
One
Alligator.
One for Fish.
Serious, who's answering the phones of this
person? I don't know.
How do you confuse Alex with Alligator?
I'm going to fix that. John in Pontevedra. Well, I guess Jed Fish is a hot topic tonight. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. My opinion about Jed Fish has sort of vacillated over the course of the season.
Big word.
Biggest.
I don't have the thesaurus here, but go ahead.
My biggest issue about him is that I've always thought that the offense has done better when it's sort of gone up-tempo, sort of, you know, either been in a two-minute offense or acted like it was in a two-minute offense. And yet, whenever they've, you know, done a huddle or gone to a huddle, sometimes they end up burning times with timeouts. And it's never seemed to really get their stuff together. But I've come up with a theory as to why they don't do that that sort of thing more often. The coaching staff really impressed that they did not expect Bortles to play this season. They expected to play Henny. You know, Henny was their guy going into the off season. So my theory is that they had an entire playbook drawn up for Chad Henny. And they didn't really have time to
You think they're confused right now with Blake? They're not sure what to do?
I don't think they have a proper playbook designed for Blake.
So you don't think like the 80 hours they work every 2 days that they can't? I mean, John, I'm being facetious. The way the hurry up works. I mean, they have a game plan. Trust me, they know what to do. It has nothing to do with it. What you're referring to, hurry up works like this: you have to have a positive play on first down to do hurry up. Team in the league. If you don't have a positive, go watch. And actually, Chris Collinger was talking about last night when the Eagles were playing the Cowboys. Is the first three drives they went three and out. And the reason is because their first down plays were not positive plays. And as soon as they get that first down and that first big positive play on first down, they go fast. Go watch the Jaguars. It's the same thing. But when you're going three and out, it's hard to go fast. There's no rhythm. If you don't get positive plays on first down, you can't hurry up. What are you hurrying up for?
Right.
I don't think you've confused the defense when you lost 2 yards on first down. I don't think they're on their heels. You have to have positive plays. So – trust me, these guys work like 1,000 hours a day. they got a plan for Blake Bortles.
And not only, I mean, if you go three and out fast, then the defense is back out there again like they have been.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, there'd be some people who argue that they should go slow, as slow as possible. Because it limits the chances the other team has and gives your defense some rest if you're going to go three and out.
There you have it.
That's not my theory, but there's some theories out there.
There's some theories.
So
everybody's got a theory.
Are we already going to break?
Yeah. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351.
Hang on there. We'll come back to you. Are we going back to more calls?
Oh, yeah. We'll do some calls coming up.
All right. Don't go away.
We'll be right back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mentioned this before, that it is a precision league. I think there's times when we see it, when you look at it, it can be spread throughout. You know, sometimes the protection, sometimes the play calling, sometimes the operation, the precision. But it is like some of those passes to Marquise. You know, just you know, a foot away or 6 inches away from being complete and a touchdown. You know, those are the type of things that we have to own. And we're not doing that right now, and you have to do it consistently. It's not because of field position, because we had good field position. And, you know, it's not because of opportunities in the red zone. We had those. But guys just got to step up, and, you know, we got to execute.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli.
Where's Pete Prisco?
I don't know. He was supposed to be here a little earlier, and maybe he's en route, or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, JP, let me tell you about Republic Services.
Go, please do.
I mean, because that's an important thing.
Yes, it is.
You know, they're the official waste provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. It's pretty amazing.
It is.
Undisputed.
Yeah.
That means they're like the heavyweight. You know when Mike Tyson was really good?
The heavyweight champion of the world.
Remember when Mike Tyson was like unbeatable and knocked people out? In like
first round. Yeah.
Remember the Michael Spinks fight, Joe? He knocked him out in like 2 seconds.
This is the Michael Tyson.
They are the Mike Tyson
of recycling.
Of recycling and
good.
Of waste services. I mean, they're the official. They're amazing.
Okay.
So they're proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here.
As will I. Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's talk some offensive line. Tony, that's right in your wheelhouse.
Wheel, let's go.
Eric on the south side wants to talk O-line. What's up, man?
This is like a slow pitch softball.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Great.
Yep.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Tony for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Thank you very much.
You deserve it.
Well deserved.
And let me tell you something. After watching Jokel play, you should make the NFL Hall of Fame, because there's something I noticed. You're a beast. You play like a defensive lineman when you're an offensive lineman. I feel Jokel, not to talk bad about him because you're an offensive line specialist, but for some reason, everybody's blaming Fisher when the offensive line cannot block. And for me, looking at the game, I remember when you played, dude, you were vicious. Defensive linemen were scared of you. And I don't think that's the same thing with Jokel. And y'all both picked second pick in the draft.
Yeah, hold on, hold on.
Against him.
Hold on a second, because this is kind of come up today throughout the day, I think, on talk radio here.
It has?
Yeah, the comparison of Jokel to you.
I haven't listened to local talk radio today. What has happened?
That's catch me up. Been kind of the theme. I haven't listened to a lot, but what I gathered from what I did here was that they're trying to compare Jokel
to
you.
So let me say this.
And hold on. That's not a fair comparison. Tony is a totally different level, once-in-a-generation guy. Pete will back it up. He said it all the time. And that's just not a fair comparison. And I don't know if there's anybody in the league right now that is like that. We've talked about that on the show
before.
So
let me say this. So the whole comparison thing. So, because I was picked second, right? I was picked second. That's a fact. And Jokel was picked second, right? And we both play left tackle. So you want to compare me to him? So what? But if we're going to play that game, let's compare Luke Jokel to Tony Mandrich, who is also picked second and played left tackle, and he is 1,000 times better than Tony Mandrich at left tackle.
My whole point
of saying that is it's asinine to compare a player based on where they were picked in the position they played with anyone else picked at that position. Because I can go to Anthony Munoz, was picked, I think, fourth overall. And I can go list you every left tackle picked fourth overall in the history of the NFL, and they all stink compared to Anthony Munoz. Every single one of them.
Okay,
is that fair?
That being a given, and I will agree with you, but how do you feel that offensive line is working? Because I believe Fisher has nowhere to go because the offensive line
is
letting them in.
It's Fish
coming through.
All right, so the argument is he has nowhere. Fish has nowhere to go because the offensive line is
I think the offensive line, like the wide receivers, like the running back, and like the quarterback, need to play a heck of a lot better than they are. That's what I think. I think it's unfair to pick out one position group and say they stink and they're the problem. Because at times they all play well, and at times they all play like the rookies, and at times it's like, my goodness, can we do anything right? But to point out one group and to, for goodness sake, of picking out one guy, the left tackle, because of where he was picked 2 years ago, is stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. So now should we expect Brandon Linder, because he's a third rounder, just to be okay? And maybe we should make – I can't – Demetrius McCray, you shouldn't be a starter because you're a seventh rounder. We're not going to let you start anymore because you're a seventh rounder. I mean, that's stupid. Avery Jones, you're an undrafted free agent. You should not be a backup in this league. You should be playing in the CFL. I mean, is that the game? Tom Brady, how dare you be a Hall of Famer? You were a sixth-round draft pick. I mean, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's not.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Listen, Luke Joeckel needs to play better. But Luke Joeckel is not as bad as everyone in the city wants to say he is. I see Luke Joeckel. I'll say this. Luke Joeckel is athletic. He's a guy who cares a lot. He's a smart guy. He has some technique issues I think he needs to work on, and I think he needs to get a little bit bigger. I think Luke Joeckel is going to be – I think right now he is playing at – as if I judge them on the – of all the offensive tackles in football, he is average.
But he could be better than average.
And because of that, I'm disappointed because I think his potential is to be really good.
Yeah.
And I think Luke will be good. I like Luke. I think Luke is a guy who is going to play here, and I can't wait till he does it. And I hope I'm doing radio because I'm going to tell all the stupid people who I asked for forgiveness. I want to remind all the people that called in and all the dumb talk show hosts in this city who are my friends, but they're idiots on some of the things they say. I'll call them idiots. About that kid, because when he's here in year 8 and year 9 and we have a guy playing left tackle that you're confident in and is just consistent, maybe he's not going to be a Hall of Famer or an all-pro guy, but I think he's going to be a good player. And I'm going to remind you all, you idiots, talk show hosts and the great callers, that, my goodness, you wanted to make all these rash judgments based on where he was picked literally in his first year, full year of playing. He didn't play last year. And you want to make these comparisons.
That's right.
But stop comparing him because he was picked number 2. Because if you're going to make that comparison, you have to do it all the way down the roster with every position.
And stop comparing him to Tony Boselli. That's just not fair to anybody. Rick in St. Augustine.
He's probably better at certain things than I am. Well, I guarantee he's faster than I ever was.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that.
And he's not as fat as I am.
I can guarantee you that, too.
I wish so he can teach me a lot of things, too.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. My whole point is the whole comparison thing's stupid.
Yeah. Rick in St. Augustine.
I apologize for all the people I just offended.
Yeah. Rick in St. Augustine.
Well,
hope it's not a comparison.
Now that Tony's
call.
All warmed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm warmed up. Nice. And I got a little sweat going.
What's up, Rick?
Well, but you know what? You did. You displayed exactly what I wanted to point out. You got an edge, Tony. I don't see the edge in our linemen. I don't see anybody pan-picking people and getting picked off and just putting them in the ground. I remember Khalif Barnes' first day on the field, his first play. He pancaked somebody, took a unnecessary roughness penalty 15 yards, set the tone. I grew up in St. Louis, Conrad Dobler, Dan Dierdorf. Man, those guys were mean. People were afraid of them. I don't see our offensive line as being mean. I want to see him get mad. I want to see him plant people and get up and be happy about it.
Okay,
thanks,
so
Nicole.
I would like us to be more – I'd like the nasty side, too. I mean, I like that. I often wonder if you can play the game like that anymore based on how they call the game and how the game is officiated and everything else. I don't know if you can do that anymore. With that said, I would challenge everyone to go watch Brandon Linder and how he plays. Pretty physical. Pretty nasty. Gets after you pretty good. I challenge you, it's amazing our perception when we're losing and how everything That's is right. negative when you're losing mm-hmm. because I watched the tape. I see Luke Jokel chasing people down the field, knocking them down and making some good plays. Does some bad things too, but yeah. I see him doing some really good things. Yeah. Saw Zane Beatles get a couple pancakes a couple weeks ago. Saw Luke Buenco and Linder and Sam Young knocking around J.J. Watt. No one wanted to talk about that. Everyone wanted to talk about the nonsense we read in the paper.
Yeah.
It's a different game. It's a much different game than when Conrad Dobler played and those guys. I mean, you could physically assault people out the field.
You'd be arrested if you did that.
And you could do a lot more when I played.
Sure.
It's a different game. But to question whether these guys – would I like to see them more physical, maybe a little more edge? Sure. But they're young guys. They're still figuring that part of the game out. But I see it more than they get credit for because I watch the film, and I watch them chase guys down, and I watch them knock guys around. But when you're losing, everyone stinks. And right now, everyone on this roster stinks because we're losing. Guess what? The radio broadcast stinks. The coaching stinks. The food service stinks. The stadium ticket holders taking tickets, they stink. Our radio producer stinks. He stinks whether we win or lose.
That's right.
Our post-game host, he stinks. You know why? Because we're losing. When you're winning, guess what? We're all great. And it's just a couple short weeks ago after we beat the Giants. Boy, these guys are playing good. Look what they did. Man, this is great. Offensively, it was no different. We scored one touchdown. I mean, my goodness. I always say it. Winning is like gravy. A good gravy. You ever have a good white gravy?
I have, yes. Shocking.
Have you ever had chicken fried steak?
Yes, I have.
So let me tell you about chicken fried steak. Chicken fried steak, the piece of meat is literally like the cheapest, most awful piece of steak
right.
known to mankind.
And it's fried
you literally
up.
Could go find, you know, out of like the like
it's just the scraps they cut off.
All right. the straps, they mumble it up and they pack it together and then you pound it out mm-hmm. and you have this piece of grizzle that they call steak, and you dip it in batter, and you deep fry it, and then you put this delicious white gravy all over it, and it is the most delicious thing in the world. If you ate that steak without the frying, without the white gravy, you would throw up. It's like a loss. But that chicken fried steak with that white gravy, boy, that is like a victory. And that is the finest meal we know because that's what's going on. That's why everything stinks around here. It's the grizzled piece of meat that with no gravy because we're not winning.
It sounded like a Gus Bradley rant. It's about victory right there.
You got to win.
Chicken fried steak, it's, victory.
If you win, everything's better. You know, if we were winning, Jed Fish, that third down call.
what a play. Greatest thing ever.
Just like that.
Try the draw. Up. Why not?
What a great play. Gus Bradley. You're the best. Luke Jokel, you should have been picked first overall. You're so good. But we're not. We're losing, so they all stink. That's how it works. And I get it. Fans, that's how we all think. But it's not reality. Because guess what? That piece of chicken fried steak, I don't care how much good white gravy and fried stuff, it's still crap underneath it. It just tastes real dang good with all the stuff all over it.
Tony getting all fired up tonight.
I mean, that's just reality.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's guess what? There's a lot of good things that happen on the film, but it's all just junk because there's no gravy. The gravy makes it all better.
Let me tell you something. Tony can talk offensive line till the cows come home, but don't question him about chicken fried steak.
I'll tell you exactly what's going on with
He knows all about gravy.
It's just like, you know, I mean, it's like pasta.
Then we got to go there now.
I mean, I can tell you about pasta. You get a good red sauce.
Oh. It's over.
It's still gravy. Well, I mean, that's what, but people, that, you know, Joe, they don't call it gravy.
It's different,
here.
Yeah.
But it is, and it's good. I can take a good red sauce and put it on. I mean, you can put that on anything,
mm-hmm.
and it tastes good. Go ahead.
Let's go back to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Gabriel in Riviera Beach tonight talking about quarterbacks. What's up, Gabriel?
Good evening, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
First of all, those last two rants from Tony Boselli, those are your next two promos at that radio station. They may as well come and check right now.
Can I charge him more for that? Do I get a pay increase?
That's an excellent question. And
I'll give you the answer. No.
the nice lady that called up before that Tony kept interrupting.
Carol.
I have to disagree with her as far as. Carol?
Yeah, Carol. She's one of my favorites.
I, I would have to disagree with her as far as Blake Bortles being good looking. He is absolutely gorgeous. And as far as Luke Jokel, when time comes, I will be right there when he comes into his own, and I will throw my mantis at him. You guys have a great night.
All right then. All right, Jags. Here we go. That's not awkward at all.
I don't even know what he just said. What is he going to throw at Luke?
His Nancy's, I guess.
What is that, Joe?
That's the unmentionables, I believe, is what that is.
Like his underwear?
Yeah.
I don't think Luke wants his underwear.
I don't believe he does either. Anyway, Tim on St. Augustine, get us
that
out
was,
of this.
That
was an epic call, too.
That was great. We welcome all.
Yes. Tim, St. Augustine, defensive ends, what's up?
This show is quickly going downhill, but I do believe.
No, we fell off the cliff a long time ago.
Downhill.
I know why Tony is talking about food, and I think that's related to where Mr. Frisco is at tonight. I believe Tony is set to be eating Mr. Frisco.
Yeah, might have.
So do something to the audience. I would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But related to the defensive line, with how good they are actually playing so far, do you think defensive end is still going to be a priority in next year's draft?
Good question.
I think they'll go young. I think they're going to try to get younger at the Leo end position. So if you look at the defense right now, I think linebacker is another position. I think the secondary is very young. Would be surprised if they try to find a veteran free safety, and I hate doing this right now, but I'll just engage in it because the season is almost over.
I mean, it is week 16.
Yeah. And so. I think you'll find, got Chris Clemens, 11-year guy. So I think you're going to try to find some more depth and maybe a young explosive pass rusher there. And then, at linebacker, you need more depth and more speed.
Yeah, who do you – if you're an opposing offense, who right now in this Jaguars defense do you game plan for?
He's the best pass rusher.
Okay.
Send Derek Marks. Chris Clemens is a good player too, but send Derek Marks I think right now is probably the guy. Listen, I give Chris Clemens a lot of credit coming in, an 11-year guy. Off a Super Bowl, you wonder at that age, and what's the motivation? And he's been a pro's pro, and he's done a good job. He comes out, he plays hard. He's been very productive this year.
Early, it wasn't like that. He took a few weeks to get into.
He's got a little bit of a role now, and he's playing well. I don't know. He's an 11-year guy. How many years left does he have? In the tank, and we'll have to wait and see. But I think getting younger on the defense. I think they'll try to get younger on defense and older on offense.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So I think the draft, younger on
build off, for the future on defense. Yes.
More, the one veteran I could see them bringing in on defense would be a free safety.
That can play right away.
That can run and cover a lot of the field.
Yep. They're missing that for sure. Let's go one last phone call here. Ryan in is this Cincinnati? Where are you, Ryan? What's up?
Hey, guys. First off, that analogy, Tony, that's probably the best thing you've ever said, and I've been listening for years, man.
Thank you very much. Came to me in a brief moment of geniusness.
The one moment of clarity.
Yeah, it's not happening for you. What is it, like Nirvana? You reached Nirvana or enlightenment? I had that moment really quickly. It's gone, though. It's a problem. I hope I can find it again.
If you hadn't been inducted into the Hall of Fame last week, that would have put you over the top, I guarantee it.
Nice. Thank you very much.
What's up tonight, man?
Well, the reason I was calling was because kind of in regards to the Jed Fish stuff, and I kind of wish Pete was there just because
you're the only one.
I feel like I'm about I feel like I'm, channeling my inner Prisco by saying this, but by my count, 2015 should be the year that everyone starts to judge. Now look, I'm not trying to say at all that Jed Fish is, the Dick LeBeau of calling offense, because I don't think he's that good. But I do know that a lot of the things that are killing our drives are drop passes and, somewhat errant throws. And that's much more on, Frank Selfo and or I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Selfo, that's right. I think we should fire him too. I'm joking. I mean, Frank's a friend. Let him finish.
Right.
Let him finish.
Go ahead. What else you got? He's done.
He wanted to throw. He wanted to throw cell phone under the bus.
And then
he literally what he just did. He was driving down the street, threw Selfo, our quarterback coach, out of the car, and then backed up and ran over him and said, "See ya." How did Frank Selfo get thrown under the bus?
I don't. All of a sudden, it's about mechanics, I guess. That's what he put it to. Right?
Frank's fault.
I mean, come on now. We haven't even really heard from Frank this year. He doesn't do a lot of interviews.
He's just doing his job. He's a good quarterback coach. So.
Yeah. Well,
are we doing?
We might have to come back and do copy facts, but Pete's not here.
Is Pete coming?
So I'm going to win tonight.
Joe, is Pete coming?
I might win one tonight.
Did you text him? Is he in the state?
I don't know. We'll see. He's in the state because he was in the state when he started the day.
Well, if I win today, what would be the record?
It would come down to next week.
Yeah,
that's big. So look forward to that when we come back.
Victory!
The Copy Facts face-off is right around the corner. More of your calls, maybe. We'll see. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More gravy talk on Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday. Shadrick,
come on,
Tony Boselli.
You gotta be better than that, boys.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Pete Prisco is apparently right around the corner, and so we will hold off on the Copy Facts face-off until he arrives because it has come down. There's two more shows left after tonight. The score is 8-7. Prisco in the lead.
So I gotta win the next.
You gotta win tonight.
Win the night. It's 8-8.
If you don't win tonight, it's over.
No. If I don't win tonight, I gotta win the next two to tie.
That's fair. That's right. Yes. But then how do we tie break?
You are dumb.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't study math like you.
If there's a tie break, we'll do a double. We'll double up on the last show.
I like that idea. Yes. How about some more calls, Tony? We've been on a run tonight.
Let's go.
This has been good, man. We'll get to some news from around the league, including the league's leading rusher going under the knife maybe this week.
No, not maybe. He did.
Yes.
He went under the knife today for a broken bone, two broken bones in his hand.
The ring finger,
kind of? He is not ruled out for the game.
Yeah.
Similar surgery that Emmitt Smith had when he was with the Cowboys. Emmitt missed one game. We'll find out what it means for DeMarco Murray.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bill on the south side wants to talk about Tony. What's up, man?
Talk about me.
Hey, how you guys doing? I got a question for Tony.
All right, Bill, let it rip.
Yeah, I need to know, man, what kind of vitamin supplements you use to give you that kind of energy. I was listening to you a little while ago on the radio. Man, if you got that kind of energy, you pass that information on to the Jaguars trainer, and he passes it on to the team. Hell, they might be 14-0 right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's gravy, actually.
It's gravy.
Is what it is.
It's all about the white gravy.
It's all about the gravy.
That and caffeine, a lot of coffee.
And you just had like three energy bars just a second ago.
I saw those. Like that, and yogurt.
I mean, come on now. Back to the phone lines. Eric in Fernandina Beach talking offensive line. What's up, man?
Not much. I had a quick question. Is our offensive line coach, is George Yarno back, or are we still running with the interim offensive line coach? And if so, you think that might be affecting our offensive line's play? And I'll take my answer out there.
Appreciate it.
Fair question. No, George Yarno is not back. He is still out for medical reasons. Luke Buckus is still the who was George's assistant last year. Is the intern offensive line coach, and I think he's doing a good job, and I don't think he is the issue. I think it's the fact that they're a young team in a lot of different places, and when you have a young team, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and that's what you're seeing right now.
Let's finish up the phone calls with John on the south side to talk offensive line. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man.
So I got a question for Tony. So I know, you know, your career was short for an injury. But my question is, if you never got injured, and let's say you retired at 28, at age 42, with never having injured, if you had 6 months to prepare, do you think you could still play at a starter quality level or even a backup level at your age if you never had an injury?
If I never had an injury, I'd still be playing, maybe.
Okay, at 42, you think you could still do it? That was my question.
I'm being facetious there. One game? Yeah, maybe
one game.
I don't think I could hold up over the rigors of a season, though. And that's, like, assuming a lot because I didn't make it through with no injuries. So, I don't know.
What's the longest a tackle's played?
Jackie Slater played 20 years, 21 years, something like that.
Huh. Holy cow.
But he played in the air. I mean, he didn't start the first four or five years of his career. He was a backup, and then, which was different. I mean, you got to remember back then you would get drafted by a team, and, you know, there was no free agency. You know, they could hide you. You'd sit there, and, you know, and you had no choice. You couldn't go anywhere else, and then you kind of worked your way into the, you know, into the lineup. So, you know, different era, different time. So, I mean, I don't know how to answer that question, really. I mean, I'd love to be I'll say this. I say it all the time. If there was a pill I could take right now that would let me go play another season, I'd do it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and guess who's just walked in the studio?
I need a pill to deal with this guy. Thanks for coming on time.
Pete Prisco has arrived.
The show only started an hour and a half ago.
Hello, Pete.
Holy cow.
Were you here last week?
Yes, I was.
You were?
Yes, in spirit.
He was here on the phone line.
Yeah, I was on the phone.
I'm here.
Were you getting? Were you inducted to the Hall of Fame of anything?
Yeah.
No, never.
The Hall of Smartasses. That's where I went into the Hall.
Speaking of that, I had a long phone call with a person who feels that way about you.
Who's that?
He described you as the smartest and knows more about football than anyone else in the whole world.
Just ask him.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Phil Sims. Yeah. He told me to tell you to say hi.
I'll see him. I'll see him on Thursday.
He told me to say hi. What a great guy he is. He's awesome. He likes you a lot.
I know. He knows.
He said, yeah, he knows everything.
All you got to do to quiet Phil Sims is go, Phil, at the end of the year, that one year, why, did you really think that Tim Tebow was good? That'll shut him up in a second.
I did that playoff game with him.
He didn't really think he was good.
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying playoff game with him.
You're here just in time for the Copy Facts face-off.
I heard you guys building it up. Oh, if he wins this, he wins this. I have no chance tonight. I have none.
You know how he does. You know.
No, I know. I know. Joe's already got it fixed. It's like it's rigged.
You're
I have
such
no chance.
A baby.
The score is 8-7, Prisco.
You know what that is? That's loser talk.
No, it isn't.
That's volunteer victim. You're a volunteer victim.
I clearly
victim.
Won yeah. last don't week in NFL.
You're a volunteer victim. You make up excuses why you don't win.
No.
Me? I'm a competitor.
Yeah, you're a competitor, and they felt sorry for you last week because you were going to the Hall of Fame, and they gave it to you.
No, I clearly won last week.
No, you didn't.
That was a
no-brainer. That was bad. Joe felt sorry for him. I know he did.
Tony gets the first shot tonight, by the way.
What are we talking about?
The topic tonight.
Are we going straight through?
There are three division champions already crowned in the AFC. Broncos in the West, Colts in the South, Patriots in the East. Of those three, which team has the best chance to win the AFC?
Oh, this is the easiest question ever. It's the New England Patriots because right now they have the quarterback who can handle the cold weather better than anyone else. Their defense is outstanding. They have the best coach. They run the ball well. Now Denver is starting to run the ball better themselves, but with the you know, they have Gronkowski.
Stumbling.
Just all the weapons they have and the fact of this, they're going to end up having home field advantage because them and the Broncos will tie for the – both have the same record. The tiebreaker will go to New England because they won head-to-head. And New England in the last 62 games at home is 59-3 under Tom Brady. And in the playoffs – outside, if the Baltimore Ravens, which won a fluke game years ago at home in Foxborough, they don't lose. The New England Patriots will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. They are the best team. They are the best all-around team. They have the best coach. And right now, based on how Peyton Manning's playing, they have the best quarterback because Tom Brady can still throw the ball, and Peyton's ball is fluttering a little bit, and we all know when it gets cold, he struggles.
Petey, go ahead.
I'll say this right now. As of right now, the New England Patriots are the best team in the National Football League.
Play the music! It's over!
No, that's not the question.
That's not the question.
That's not the question. The question is, who will win in the postseason? And the answer is 18. 18 is going to win this year. And you keep talking about fluttering balls. The guy's been throwing fluttering balls his entire career.
It's getting worse.
No, it's not. You know why they're getting worse? Because they've all of a sudden had this mandate where you have to run the football. Because why? Because when you get in the playoffs in January, you have to run the football. Well, they've done their little due diligence. They've proven they can run the football when they have to. And in fact, last week, you know what they did? on one play, they slid the center over on an unbalanced line. The right guard actually played center and snapped the football, and they had a 47-yard gain. Okay, experiment over. You know you can do it. You know what else you know you can do? You know you can throw it around because you have great players. You have talent. Who's got better weapons than Peyton Manning? Certainly not Tom Brady. Who's got a better offensive line than Peyton Manning? Certainly. It's not better. It's not better. You're wrong. It's better? It's better. Their offensive line in New England is better.
Tell me when you're done, because I have one question
okay.
for you. Tell me when you're done. I have one question and one question.
And then you go to the
only.
Defensive side of the football. You're going to tell me flat out that New England's defense is significantly better than Denver's. Well, the stats will bear it out that they're not. They're not better. Denver's defense is better. So I'll give you the coach, and I'll give you the weather, but in the end, 18 in his defense, and that newfound running game will go into New England.
I have one question and one question only. Last week, actually be the third week in January this year, AFC title game, Denver Broncos with the New England Patriots in Foxborough. Who are you picking?
Broncos.
You're a liar.
Broncos.
You're Broncos. A liar. They don't lose there. It's going to be
Baltimore
cold.
Beat them there.
It's going to be
and Baltimore
cold.
Beat them there. And how did Baltimore beat them there?
Listen, first of all, New England already whipped Denver the when they went to New England. And you know why? It's because they have the corners and the secondary to lock down.
New England beat them last year.
And
they have
no
Denver
answer.
Beat them.
And they have no – in Denver, Pete, not in New England. And they have no answer for Gronk. The offensive line is
Denver's
better.
Denver's defense isn't any good.
The Denver's defense offensive isn't line in New England is better than Denver's.
It is?
Yes, it is.
It is. It is. It's mm-hmm. better than Denver's.
Yes.
The left tackle and
the outside weapons for Denver are better than New England's. That's all they got.
The left tackle in New England is better than the left tackle in Denver.
There's not as big a difference as you think. I'll give it to Denver, though.
Oh, come on.
I'll give it to Denver.
Clady's significantly better
I'll
than
I'll give
Solder.
It to Denver, that one position.
Okay, the right tackle in New England
is better than Denver's.
I'll give you that. The center
is better in New England.
It is?
Yes.
Really? The kid is better than the
yes,
other? Okay. Yes. And the guards?
I think
the guards are better in Denver. There's no debate.
Oh, yes,
Franklin
there's a debate.
And
Franklin is a – come on.
Franklin and
the bottom line is this.
Better than
when it counts more in the cold weather, it's going to be New England, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady because Peyton Manning can't win in New England. He couldn't win in New England when he was with the Colts, and he can't win with New England when he was the Broncos.
He didn't have this defense
Good luck.
When he was in the Colts.
It doesn't matter.
Did he ever have his defense?
He can't win in
defense?
New England.
Who has a better defense?
It doesn't matter.
New England, yes, it does. You just said New England's
New
got
England
a better defense.
Has the better
does New
team,
England have a better
which
defense?
You admitted. You said
right now,
New England is the better team.
Is New
and
England
guess
winning
what?
At all?
At home, they're 59-3
is
under
England,
Tom Brady.
Is New England winning at all?
No, they won't win at all.
The Who's going to win at all?
The winner of the Super Bowl, which is not part of the question, will either be Green Bay or Seattle, whoever wins that game, which will be a great NFC
so
title
you're
game.
Chalk. It's you're going chalk. In the playoffs. It's all chalk.
Yeah, I am going chalk this year.
See, I got a sneaky feeling somebody weird is going to find a way. But I don't know who it is. But
well,
that game
first
it'll be
of all,
Denver.
Right
Denver.
Now, Green Bay wouldn't be chalked. They're a wild card team.
Denver will be.
Just for your record.
Right, but they won't be by the time the season's over. Denver would win in me. I know you're giving
your
it to
time
him.
Is up.
You made it long.
Oh, in a stunning turn of events, Pete Prisco's the winner.
He did that only because you said so. And he can't even keep a straight face.
Winner! You can't do anything but tie me!
No, because if it's a tie, we have an extra.
No, no, I don't play that way.
You
best you can do
rules.
Is tie me. As best you can do is tie me.
Wow. Prisco comes from the airport.
The amazing thing is you know New England's going to win if they're in New England.
No, I don't.
You're
I think this Denver team is different. It's got a different feel.
How much you want to bet? I'll
we'll
bet you any
we'll
amount
bet.
Of money
we'll bet.
That if it's in New England. Now, if it's in Denver, I pick Denver, but I don't think it will be.
No, because New England's not losing,
they're not losing
to the Jets or Buffalo.
No.
Hey, if you guys end up tied, this is the tiebreaker. Who ends up in the Super Bowl? Is it going to be New England or Indy?
That'll be good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Which means he's winning next week, and he's going to win the next week no matter what it is.
Hey.
Like, he's going to ask me a question. Like,
you just won, you'll, Pete.
He'll,
you're
no,
still
he'll
bad.
Say, your question next week will be like, who's the best offensive tackle you've seen with your own two
But you've won.
Say,
you go first, Pete.
I'd say Tony.
You go first.
You get to go first next week.
And I would say Tony. Then who would you argue?
I never. I couldn't see myself because I was. It
you
was
watch
me
on
out
tape.
There. I'd say. John
would you say yourself?
I'd say Anthony Munoz.
Why wouldn't you say yourself?
Because I don't do that.
We'll get to this argument next week, guys. We'll come back in a moment to look
crazy.
Around
you
the
know England's better.
National Football League in Week 15. Boy, it's good to have you here, Pete.
I missed it, man. I'm
glad you made it.
JetBlue, what'd you do to me today?
Oh boy, here we go. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
New system, new routes, new way. The JTA is transformed to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. Their new routes mark the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Jaguars Monday.
See what this is?
Yes, I see an envelope with your name on it.
That's my credential.
First game of the year.
You're coming Thursday.
I'm coming.
All right.
Yeah. You haven't been to an NFL game this year,
no,
have you?
No. And I probably won't stay for the whole thing, but I'm coming.
Why aren't you going to stay the whole time?
Beat the traffic.
Because you're the senior columnist. No, that's why.
I'm not writing the game. I'm coming to see some guy, you know, Sims and guys like that. Yeah. Just BS, you know. But if Blake Bortles doesn't come, it'll deter me.
You know, I think he'll play.
Yeah, you missed this earlier. So Blake thinks he's going to play.
I think he'll play too.
He's not listed yet, but they're saying questionable for the game. But Blake is confident in his foot.
By the way, when I was driving in, I'll say this. I heard Tony Boselli peeking to the future.
I know. I mean, it was the one week you're not here.
I was like, I was so proud.
It was painful.
I was so proud of you. You finally started acting like a general manager instead of 1 week, one game at a time.
Every aspect of the player in me was just screaming. And then you even mentioned
free safety.
Hey, there you go. I mean, is
the next
new man.
Step is mention the name free safety. I will. I have. Devin McCourty. Go get him.
Because the Titans secondary is really good.
No, Devin, the brother.
Oh, the brother.
The free safety.
New England. New England, yeah.
The greatest defense of all time that you said.
I didn't say the greatest defense of all time.
You said it.
They will be the Broncos, though.
A lot of talk tonight about Fish and play calling. What are your thoughts about all that, Pete?
What's he supposed to do? Now, I'll say this. I'm not a big fan of horizontal offenses. I'm a vertical offense guy. So I could see where there's some criticism. But can you even call vertical routes with what's happening up front? I mean, this guy's getting beat to death there. I mean, they're killing that quarterback, and he's you know, leaving some early pockets that are clean. And
yeah, some of it's self-inflicted.
Right. But there's, you know, how can you call plays down the field? And so I think all those fans out there killing Jed, it's just like it's not fair to judge Dave Caldwell till next year. It's not fair to judge Gus Bradley until next year. It's not fair to judge Jed Fish until next year. Now, if this is all happening at this time next year, then they're going to be judged. And they should be judged. But I don't think it will be. I think they'll be better next year. I think it'll be I watch them every week. And I talked to somebody in Baltimore today, one of their guys. And he said, you know what? I was really impressed with their defense.
Their defense is good.
Defense played good.
Now, the offense stinks.
Thanks.
That's what he said. And you know what? The reality is that's true. But they're going to get younger and faster on defense, so the defense is even going to get any better. I think when
you know what I said, they need to get younger on defense, older on offense.
Older how?
They need to go get a couple free agents.
Where, though?
Wide receiver, playmaker, big nasty offensive lineman is another one I'd probably go
move
with.
Tight end if you could find one.
Move tight end, or that could be your explosive player, explosive offense player, tight end, receiver, and I'd go find a veteran running back.
I don't know about veteran. I wouldn't mess with a veteran running back.
Or
we've seen the veteran running backs, what happened to them this
when
year.
When I say, yeah, you're probably right. Or I mean,
Garrett was a veteran running back.
You got to get more depth at running back. How about that?
You draft it.
Yeah.
Draftable depth.
But I'd get older on offense.
I would get it. I'd get a couple veteran offensive linemen.
I'd get older on offense.
And I don't know if I would necessarily get, yeah, probably a veteran.
Randall Cobb?
He'd be an intriguing guy. He could help you in a kickoff, in a punt return
That's
game.
I can't believe I'm going.
Julius Thomas.
Forward right
Julius
now.
Thomas. You can't. That one. No, I think they're going to keep both of them.
I don't think so. They're going to keep Demaryius for sure.
He's number one priority.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Remember your debate early in the season? You said you take Julius over
Demaryius. I would change my mind. Watching him more and more. He's a freak.
So was I right earlier this season?
On that one, yeah.
Play the music. You want
to hear? I'll say the other one when he was right on too, and you already awarded it to him. Is Gronk is the best tight end?
Oh yeah,
but I admitted that when he's healthy. He's the best.
Rounded tight end in the game.
He's a man.
Can block
boys,
too.
Yeah.
His blocking wasn't that good earlier this season. He's gotten better.
Yeah. Let's go around the National Football League in Week 15. Johnny Football,
dreadful. He was awful. He was terrible. His mechanics were bad. He was jumpy,
small,
and he's small. They didn't help him much. You want to talk about a line that has played well this year, didn't play well the
well,
other
they haven't
day?
Been played...
No, the last, ever since Mack went down, they've been...
They've been playing well when Hoyer's in there, too.
They were bad. It was really bad.
So all the people saying, get Manziel. Hoyer's better than Manziel right now.
Probably, but for the future, you need to play Manziel. It's right. So that
He's
game...
He's not the future, well, though.
You'll find out.
Do you think he is?
I wouldn't have drafted him. But they
either.
Drafted him. They obviously think he is, so you got to get
I'm asking you.
No, I don't. I don't like my quarterback running around in any way, shape, or form. Including on zone reads here.
Right.
He didn't run any this week.
I know.
No. None this week. And I would guess none next week with a foot if he's playing.
No.
Good. Yeah. It's probably the best thing to happen to him.
AFC North, all three of the teams at the top one, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens. That's the only AFC division still alive.
And they're all making the postseason. Yeah. Every one of them. Every single one of them. Here's why. Baltimore's going to win out. They play Houston with the third string quarterback. They play Johnny Manziel. Okay? They're going to win out.
So they're going to be
11 and 5. They're in. Pittsburgh plays home this week against Kansas City.
They've got to play Cincinnati.
At home. So they could win both of them.
It's okay. Let's say they're 11 and 5.
All right.
They win the division
let's just
then.
Say, for the sake of the argument, because Denver goes to Cincinnati Monday night, Cincinnati loses both. They'll be 6 and that tie will come into play because you have.
They'll be 9-5-1.
No, 9-6-1.
9-6-1.
That's right.
Right. So, Kansas City, in that scenario, Pittsburgh will beat Kansas City. They'll have 7. Buffalo plays New England. They'll have 7. And San Diego
might get in.
They play at San Francisco next week.
San Francisco's done.
Yeah.
Maybe. Done.
On the road?
It doesn't matter.
Saturday night?
Done.
It's on TV? Night game?
Done.
But they're not done.
Okay. But my point is San Diego could be the last wild card.
But they're all probably going to get to 7 or could get to 7, and then that tie will factor in, and they'll get in. Just like in the NFC South, the tie could factor in for Carolina.
Yeah.
You ever think a tie would
it's amazing.
Be that important?
Carolina's going to go.
I don't think they're winning at Atlanta. I think Atlanta's playing better now. Atlanta, we'll know more about New Orleans tonight, and it's raining there. If New Orleans goes to Chicago tonight and is blown out of that building, then they're not beating Atlanta next week at home, at their place, in your backyard, or anywhere else. New Orleans is so bad right now.
You know what? It's such a bad division. I have no idea who's going to win that.
I think Atlanta's playing better the last 2 weeks, even though they didn't win. They showed up at Green Bay late in the second half and threw the ball around. And then against Pittsburgh yesterday, they threw the ball around and did some things. Without Julio, I think if Julio's on the field, they'll win the division. They play at New Orleans, then home against Carolina. If they don't, Mike Smith's out. Even if they do.
Mike Smith's probably
out. I'll tell you this, though. I'll say this, JP. If Atlanta gets in, they're the most dangerous of the three teams if they get in because they can throw it around. I don't know if New Orleans can throw it around anymore. And Cam Newton.
What is wrong with New Orleans?
The middle of the offensive line is awful. Awful.
And they're not great at wide receiver.
No, they're not. They don't have speed outside.
Are there issues with the Packers now after they lost to the Bills? He was 185 yards passing.
Bills' defense is good.
Really good. Up front, they're league leaders in sacks. They can get after the quarterback. And you know what? Jim Schwartz has played Aaron Rodgers a lot. This time when he was in Detroit, he knows they came out wide. They used a lot of the wide nines and came up the field on him. But, I mean, Jordy Nelson has a touchdown pass for 95 yards, and that's a different ball game. They had a punt return. That it's a and you know this as much as anybody. In the NFL, I don't care who you're playing. If you play on Monday night and go on the road the following week, it's a tough turnaround. Weirdest dynamic. Again, I ask you this all the time. Why is it so big a deal to go on the road and play the same game that you play at home? They're not. It's not like the elements are a factor for Green Bay, right?
Yeah. No, it is amazing.
It's weird.
But it's making plays, Pete, to your point. Buffalo's a very good defense. If they make the plays that were right there in front of them, Green Bay wins that game.
Right.
Let's finish with the Cowboys. They were up 21
and then lost the lead
and then won the game. Dez Bryant had 3 touchdowns.
Telling.
And they're going to win the division.
Yes. Well, a lot of people think they'll lose to the Colts this week. I don't.
I don't. I think they'll beat the Colts because I think they'll run it. Well, the question with DeMarco Murray, he's not ruled out yet.
But he's a fumbler even with a good hand, 2 good hands.
Yeah.
I think Dallas, I picked Dallas to win that game. I just thought the rest, remember they had 10 days off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, let's put to rest all this idea that Romo isn't any good in the fourth quarter or in December. Because Romo's been good in both. Now, he hasn't necessarily won the games in December, but he's been good. Go look at his numbers in December. He's been good in December.
Where is the Dallas game? Is it Dallas Colts?
In Dallas. But they haven't won
Dallas. They'd be better on the road.
I know.
I think they beat the Colts, and I think they've
at Washington.
At Washington. Because the reality is, this Colts game means nothing. The next two don't mean anything. They won the division. They're not getting any higher than the 3 seed because they lose tiebreakers to both the Patriots and the Broncos.
They could go down to the 4 seed.
What does it matter?
Right. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And so
it still matters because right now they still could get the
No, they can't, Pete.
How many losses do they have?
Five?
Is it four or five?
No, they have five.
No, they're not. Are they 9-5? Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, they're right. Now, you're right. They're 9-5.
They're not getting it.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. When you look at Dallas, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs because of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Tony?
Yeah, I like Dallas. I like their defense. It's so bad, though.
I don't know. Jeremy Mincy.
It worries you.
Remember Jeremy Mincy?
Yes.
At a time when you have to be able to stop the run and play physical on defense, can they? I'm not sure.
Right.
The Colts have – you know what? I'm wrong, Pete. They have 10 and 4.
Yeah.
So they're only one game behind. Here's the problem. Denver and New England will have to lose the next two for them to get in.
But they're not. It's not over. So
it's over. The Broncos and the Patriots aren't both losing the next two games.
No. But it's not technically. It's not over. Okay, you're the guy who always tells coach speak. Oh, well, it's over. Would you tell your team it's over?
No, it's not over. No, but I'm just saying. I think Dallas matches up good against New England against Indy
because they're powerful.
Because they're physical. Right. They're powerful.
I think Dallas matches up with anybody because they have that offense.
I think Dallas beats Indy.
All right.
And they already beat Seattle.
They did.
On the road.
And then they play Washington to close out the year, which is going to be if Dallas gets to the point where they beat Indy and they have to beat Washington to get that bye in a home field playoff game, they'll blow the doors off of Washington.
Yep.
We're back in a moment. Final segment of Jaguars Monday ahead. We'll preview Monday Night Football, the short week for the Jags. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick with Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Monday Night Football tonight. The New Orleans Saints at 5-8 head to rainy Soldier Field in Chicago to face the 5-8 Chicago Bears. Who you like, guys, tonight?
Neither.
It's nasty. The weather's nasty. I picked the Bears. Just because they're at home and the Saints traditionally aren't that good outside. But I'll say this. This last time the Saints were outside, they went to Pittsburgh and won.
They sure did. It wasn't pouring down rain, though.
Two bad football teams.
Bad defenses, for sure. Really bad defenses.
I'm going to go with the Saints just because Drew Brees is better than Cutler.
Here's another one.
Cutler's
the game really doesn't mean anything to the Saints.
Or the Bears. Anyone else.
Well, the Saints lose tonight and beat Atlanta next week and then win out. And then Atlanta beats Carolina last week of the season. Then the Saints will win anyways. It's just an awful it's an awful situation.
It's a bad football game because it doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Well, it still could mean something to New Orleans
if Carolina wins out, they have to win. If Carolina wins out, they're out.
No, if Carolina wins out, then New Orleans has to win every game.
No. You sure? No. What's the records? I need
they
records.
They got a tie, and New Orleans would be 6-6. New Orleans would be 6-8.
You don't even know.
New Orleans would be 6-8 if they win tonight. Hmm. And they'd have a tough. They're 5-8. 6-8 is better than 5-8-1.
That's true. That's a true statement.
You sure about that?
Positive about that. 6-8 is better than 5-8-1.
The Jaguars.
I can confirm that Pete's correct. 6-8 is better than 5-8-1.
Yeah, check your sources.
You should put that on a loop all the time.
I'm checking my sources right now.
Check your sources.
You should put that on.
My sources say that if New Orleans wins, they'll be 6-8.
Put that on a loop.
And that is better than 5-8-1.
Will you put that on a loop? I can confirm Pete's right.
They need a lot of gravy in New Orleans.
A lot of gravy. Like. Did you hear my gravy segment?
No.
Oh,
eat some gravy this week?
Oh, it's epic.
Did you eat some gravy?
I can't tell you.
We'll let you know. The Jaguars this week. Titans come in on Thursday night. What do you make here?
The Jaguars are a better team.
Does it come down to Bortles?
Two bad teams. Yeah. That's what it is. Two bad teams.
The Jaguars are better.
But I'll say this.
They're better defensively.
I'll say this. The Jaguars made progress against the Ravens.
Okay.
That's what you wanted to see. You didn't see 34-10. You saw progress. That's what it's all about. Now it's time to see some offensive progress.
We'll follow Blake Bortles' story throughout the week.
Yeah, that's going to be one to watch closely and listen into and get on the website and follow all the news and what's happening because I hope he plays. I think he'll play.
I hope he plays too. I want to see young quarterbacks play. I want to see has-beens play.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Right. Or Case Keenum. And you think about the quarterback starting. If he doesn't start this week, it'll be Chad Henne, Case Keenum, and Charlie Whitehurst starting in the AFC South this week.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
On that note, let's go to the guys that are next. Timeout. Fat Tony, Paul Spicer. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Pete? I happen to agree with you. I do think there was progress, but wanted you to follow up on that a little bit. Where?
Defense.
Where are you seeing the progress?
Defense. Definitely on the defense.
Okay.
It was
you
better.
And everybody else, because you had.
Yeah, I just think, you know, that's where it was. It wasn't a lot of progress on the offensive side of the football. I thought the offensive line had its moments where it looked awful and had its moments where it looked okay. It's just there's from play to play on the offensive side of the football, to me, it's one or two guys that are always
inconsistency.
Making a mistake. Yeah, it's bad.
No, you can't have it. And, Tony, I know you're kind of the guy I go to if I have offensive line questions. I mean, what are you seeing from those guys? Is it as simple as they're just inconsistent? How many of those sacks are on them? How many of them are on Bortles? I know at least one is on Storm.
I think I get, if, after looking at it from my judgment, I think I put 2.5 on the line, 3.5 on Bortles, 1 on scheme and 1 on running back.
Okay.
I think that's all right.
Breaking it down, big bull.
I might be a little bit off. I'd have to go back to my notes.
Knowing him, though, there's probably another 1.5 that on the offensive line he's covering for him.
No. Yeah. I never cover for the big fat guy.
Yes,
you know what, though, Baselli? I agree with you and Logman. I heard you guys last week, and, I mean, I was one of those guys out there like, what are they looking at? But you know what? I paid attention to the offensive line this past week, and they are playing better. Compared to what everybody's been saying about him, I watched Joko. He was doing a great job against a guy that's been ripping it up. Since he's been in the league, Terrell Suggs has been a monster. And here's Joko out there. You know, there were times his technique wasn't sound, but you know what? He is going against one of the premier guys. And you know, even Young that was over there on the right side. I mean, you're going against a guy that leads the league in sacks in Dumervil, and they was holding their own. And I was thoroughly surprised to see that, because I mean even though he did end up with 8 sacks, but as you just quoted,
it was a group effort of getting those sacks up.
Absolutely, I mean, but then they made Florida State Tim Jernigan look like all pro.
He's been good the last month.
He's playing better. He's playing better. I give him credit.
On that note,
I don't like him, but I give him credit.
Wrap it up, buddy.
Hey, we're done here. On that note.
On that note,
timeout with Fat
Pete. Pete needs to stay another hour because he missed the first hour.
Yeah, that's right. You get to stay here with these guys. Timeout with Fat Tony and Paul Spicer starts right now.